top stories, Lebanon's Hezbollah movement joins Palestinian resistance groups in hailing the shooting operation in Tel Aviv as a legitimate response to Israeli crimes. The U.S. approves another $100 million in military aid for Ukraine, and the EU backs a proposal to boost its funding of arms supplies to Kyiv. And the Attorney General of the U.S. state of New York asks a judge to hold former President Donald Trump in contempt for violating a court order.
Welcome to the program.
At least two people are killed and nine more wounded in a Palestinian shooting operation in the Israeli capital, Tel Aviv. This was the fourth such attack in the last 2 weeks. Some of the victims are in critical condition. The shootings took place at several locations. Israeli forces later killed a Palestinian shooter in the city of Yafa. Palestinian resistance groups have hailed the operation, with Hamas saying that it showed the ability of Palestinians to carry attacks in the heart of the occupied territories. A statement by Popular Resistance Committee says the attack was a legitimate response to intensified Israeli crimes. Lebanon's resistance movement, Hezbollah, has also hailed the operation. It says Palestinians once again demonstrated their ability to confront the occupying regime and respond to its crimes. 44 days into Russia's military operation in Ukraine. Let's take a look at the latest developments there. Kyiv says over 30 people have been killed and more than 100 others wounded in a Russian rocket strike on Kramatorsk railway station in eastern Ukraine. According to Ukrainian officials, the railway is being used for civilian evacuations from the Donbas region. Meanwhile, mayor of the port city of Mariupol says at least 160,000 civilians remain stranded there. The mayor also says the civilian death toll stands at about 5,000 elsewhere in the city, or in the country, I should say. Russian forces have reportedly blockaded the northeastern city of Kharkiv. The United States has approved another $100 million in military aid for Ukraine. The U.S. has committed over 12,000 anti-armor systems, 1,400 anti-aircraft systems, and hundreds of kamikaze drones to Kyiv. The move brings the total U.S. assistance to Ukraine to nearly $1.7 billion since the onset of Russia's operation in the country. That's while the U.S. and its NATO allies have claimed they are seeking to end the Ukraine crisis through diplomacy and dialogue. The European Union has approved a new package of sanctions against Russia over Ukraine. The embargoes include the first EU sanctions against Russian energy, with a coal embargo estimated to be worth $4.3 billion per year. The EU has imposed a nearly $11 billion ban on exports to Russia, including high-tech goods as well. The 27-nation bloc also backed a proposal to boost its funding of arms supplies to Ukraine by $540 million, taking it to a total of $1.6 billion. This is the fifth round of embargoes imposed on Russia by the EU since Moscow began its military operation in Ukraine late in February. To other news now, Yemen's Ansarullah movement slams talks hosted by Saudi Arabia on the Yemeni conflict, saying the future of the country will be determined by Yemenis themselves. A spokesman for the movement says the Yemeni nation does not care about the talks sponsored by illegal parties. Mohammed Abdesalam says the only option for the Saudi-led coalition to promote peace is to stop attacks, lift its siege, and move out its forces. Other than that, he says, efforts to settle the conflict are nothing but desperate attempts to regroup mercenaries and use them to escalate tensions. The remarks follow an announcement by former Yemeni President Abdurrabbu Mansour Hadi at the end of the Yemen talks in Riyadh that his authority and powers have been transferred to a new presidential council. Back in 2015, Hadi resigned and fled to Saudi Arabia. Afterwards, the kingdom launched a military campaign to bring him back to power, but to no avail. Political commentator Nasser Rabai says the talks hosted by Saudi Arabia will fail to result in any breakthrough in the Yemen conflict.
In fact, what happened in the Saudi capital is something that cares or that concerns those who are there, those who made the war and the aggression on Yemen. What matters most for the government in Sana'a is to end the war and also to lift the blockade, to end the suffering of the Yemeni people who have been suffering for about 7 years now. So the things that happened in Riyadh and the talks may concern the Saudis, the Emiratis, and their mercenaries, yes. But they do not matter those people who are or who have been have been under this blockade and sufferings for 7 years, as I said. There is no point at all, and there is no hope to for these talks to achieve anything as long as they take place there in Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is an enemy. Saudi Arabia is behind all these things, all the suffering, all the bombings, and all the killings for 7 years.
Iraqi media say the country's Ain al-Assad airbase that hosts U.S. forces has been targeted by a drone strike. Local news sources report that two drones and two rockets have struck the heavily fortified base in Anbar province in the west of the country. The base's CRAM defense system was reportedly activated and shot down the incoming rockets and chased off the drones as well. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack. U.S. bases, diplomatic missions as well as supply trucks in Iraq have been frequently targeted by rockets and improvised devices in recent years amid growing anti-America sentiment in the Arab country. Turkey was long spearheading efforts to bring those involved in the brutal assassination of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi to justice. Turkey has taken a U-turn on the case, surprising many who were hoping for some kind of punishment for the culprits.
The world will never forget the gruesome killing of outspoken journalist Jamal Khashoggi by a Saudi hit squad in 2018. Khashoggi was strangled at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul and then dismembered by a forensic scientist who worked for Saudi intelligence. The killing was caught on listening devices planted by Turkish intelligence. The Saudi dissident's body was then cut to pieces and taken to the Turkish consul general's residence, where it is believed to have been burned. No remains have ever been found. The brutal murder severely strained ties between Ankara and Riyadh and led to an unofficial Saudi boycott of Turkish exports. It cut Ankara's exports to Riyadh by 90%. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan was particularly vociferous in his condemnation of the Saudi government. He said Khashoggi was killed in cold blood by a death squad sent from Riyadh, and that it had been established that his murder was premeditated. The Turkish president said the operation had been ordered at the highest levels of the Saudi government. His assessment was supported by a U.S. intelligence report which said Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman had personally approved the assassination. There has been almost no doubt that the order to kill came from very high up in the Saudi government. And Turkey was widely seen as the most unrelenting force behind efforts to bring those responsible for the assassination to justice. But Ankara has suddenly changed course. On Thursday, a Turkish court halted the trial of Saudi suspects and transferred the case to Saudi Arabia.
The Turkish court's decision to halt legal proceedings against Saudi suspects has drawn strong condemnation from rights groups. Critics of the decision argue that a move could effectively end the case. Let's see what is believed to be behind Turkey's sudden U-turn on the murder case.
The Turkish court's ruling has been widely denounced. Rights groups called the move an appalling whitewash. Khashoggi's Turkish fiancé says she has been surprised and saddened by the decision, which she described as political. Following the court's ruling, Hatice Cengiz said Saudi Arabia is a country where there is no justice and that no one expects a just decision there. She also pledged to appeal the court ruling. The Turkish U-turn on the murder trial comes as President Recep Tayyip Erdogan is trying to mend ties with the Saudis. The Khashoggi case has been a major obstacle to warmer political relations between the two sides. But why does Turkey need to reset its ties with the oil-rich kingdom so much? Turkey is grappling with a severe economic downturn, and the Turkish leader is facing an election next year.
I think it has everything to do with trying to mend ties with Saudi Arabia. I think Turkey has been chasing reconciliation with its former antagonist. We've seen that it's reconciled with the UAE. We've seen that it's been making concessions to Egypt, that it's been restricting the activity of Egyptian opposition in Istanbul and telling Egyptian opposition critics in Istanbul to tone down their criticism of Sisi in a bid to try to get Egypt to accept a reconciliation. And likewise, we're seeing Turkey make strenuous efforts in order to convince Mohammed bin Salman to end the Saudi boycott of Turkish goods.
Riyadh had made it clear to Ankara that a thaw could only come if Ankara drops the case against the kingdom. The Turkish court's ruling has left little doubt that cash-strapped Ankara wants a thaw in ties with the wealthy Saudis to such an extent that it is willing to drop the high-profile case for good.
So what Turkey is essentially doing, it's handing the issue over to Saudi Arabia and saying, for us, the matter is closed, and we're going to allow you to close the matter as well permanently so that nobody officially in the international community can talk about Khashoggi anymore.
Saudi petrodollars seem to be once again giving the kingdom impunity for its horrific crimes.
The Attorney General of the U.S. state of New York asks a judge to hold former President Donald Trump in contempt for violating a court order. Attorney General Letitia James argues that Trump has failed to turn over documents related to the probe into possible fraud in Trump's business dealings. She's also asked the judge to fine Trump $10,000 a day until he turns over the materials. Trump and two of his children were ordered in February to submit to questioning under oath. But the order is still under appeal. Trump was also ordered to present a series of accounting and tax documents relevant to his organization. The attorney who has been pursuing the probe since 2019 says Trump has been trying to evade the court order. Now to Peru, where the government has declared a state of emergency on all its highways in a bid to clear roadblocks set up by truckers protesting against price hikes. Measure allows for the army to be deployed, clearing the blockades while also suspending certain constitutional rights such as freedom of movement. Anger prevails across the South American nation over rising fuel and fertilizer prices. President Pedro Castillo has taken various measures to end the protest, including cutting taxes on fuel and raising the minimum wage. This week, he also declared a curfew in Lima to try to stifle dissent. Thousands defied the order and took to the streets in protest. That later turned violent. The situation has put Castillo's political future in danger. His approval ratings have dipped to a record low of 19%. He recently survived a second impeachment in less than a year in power. Secret letters from Prince Charles to notorious pedophile Jimmy Savile have resurfaced. The heir to the British throne had sought the advice of the now-disgraced ex-DJ to use his expertise to help the royal family handle its speechwriting, charity, and PR issues. The correspondence spanning two decades has been seen as yet another issue that will stoke anti-monarchy sentiment for the royals already struggling with declining support. Amina Taylor explains.
One of these men is Britain's monarch-in-waiting. The other is one of the UK's most prolific paedophiles and abusers, a public figure who used his influence to groom an attack on suspecting victims.
Big question I get asked.
Now in a series of bombshell revelations being made in a new Netflix series, the handwritten correspondence between 1986 to 2006 shows Prince Charles asking the late Savile for tips in repairing the reputation of the royal. Experts argue that the prince was duped like so many others, but even without the benefit of hindsight, Charles's association with Savile seems surprising. These new revelations, albeit of a past association, adds to the woes of an institution already struggling with the fallout from the Meghan Markle-Prince Harry union, Prince Andrew reaching a multi-million pound settlement for allegations he had sex with an underage girl, and outstanding accusations that Prince Charles's former associate exchanged financial inducements for helping a Saudi millionaire with his British papers.
This new revelation is something the royal family could well do without at a time when the House of Windsor is scrambling to repair its image and reputation after a series of very public missteps. The association between one of the most prolific abusers in history and the heir to the throne is a serious blow.
As Queen Elizabeth scales back on her public duties, Prince Charles must now try and convince an uncertain public the crown will be safe in his hands. On this evidence, at least, the jury is out. Amina Taylor, London.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Eight-year defense of Iranian combatants.
A senior Iranian lawmaker has said,
contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
As spirituality fills the air, people are automatically drawn to the iftar table at sunset when it is time to break fast. That's in Ramadan, the month of Muslim fasting. You don't have to be a practicing Muslim to want to join in. Fortunately, hospitality is second nature to Iranians and people of the region. So it wouldn't be hard to get a taste of the puddings and savouries served and a sense of the appreciation that comes after a whole day of abstinence from food or drink or smoking. That's abstinence from dawn to dusk that goes on for the whole of the ninth month of the Islamic lunar calendar. It's tasty but simple, yet not cheap. Times are expensive and fasting can always do with a little help here and there. And that's what Ramadan is all about, really, doing good. So it's a win-win situation, both for those receiving alms in the form of cash or meals and those giving them out. That's believers, charities, religious organizations, and the government. For a view of Ramadan in Iran and what Ramadan means to Muslims at large and to Muslim unity, stay with me, Leila Faramarzi, on Iran Today. Iranian New Year 1401 has brought our pre- and post-Islamic periods together, as the Nowruz or New Year holidays ended in picnicking April 2nd, Ramadan began April 3rd, a welcome coincidence. Mr. Jamshidi is a religion expert. He came to Press TV studios early one morning during the holidays to share his view.
Iranians are essentially seeking justice and pure spirituality free of materialism, and that's why they are interested in Imam Ali's virtues, Shia's first Imam, and made him their role model. Apart from Imam Ali, the Islamic values, not considering those of the Umayyad and Abbasid caliphates we don't accept, have been the very virtues Iranians had lost. It seems as if before Islam was introduced to the country, the Iranian society had been shrunken and fenced. But this change in religion has somehow released the energy and made Iran the peak and zenith of the Islamic civilization. Iranians have become pioneers in every field.
It's a month of revelation, birth and death, cause for celebration and mourning and reverence. Ramadan is when the Quran was revealed. Hassan, second Shia Imam or leader, was born of the Prophet's line, and Ali, the first Shia Imam, was assassinated. Also, it's when a conclusive battle at Badr was won, and Muslims must fast, except in travel or if sick or pregnant. Now, what basically sets apart an officially Shia Iran from the rest of the Muslim world at large is that in Iran, the first Shia Imam Ali is officially mourned on the day of his demise or martyrdom, 21st of Ramadan. Similarities, however, between the Sunni and Shia versions of fasting and festivity are much greater than their differences. But similarity in Sunni and Shia versions of fasting and festivity is far greater than differences. And the deeper meaning of whatever rite and ritual is common to all. The basic idea of fasting is self-control, empathy for the poor, forgiveness, and appreciation of God's bounty. Self-control is believed to benefit the individual by elevating his or her spiritual nature or energy.
I mean, there may be superficial differences between Shias and Sunnis, but the deeper we go, the more commonalities there are. What you just mentioned is true when we talk about the essence. What you said is only natural. The social and cultural values on a transitional scale can help shape a civilization. That's because civilization isn't bound to the geographical borders of a nation. We can't consider a government and its people a civilization. Civilization is the sum of several societies, several governments and nations joined to form a civilization. That's the preliminary supposition. What binds them together are the strong religious commonalities.
Ramadan is both a reminder and a practice, as I've seen Visit to Iran put it. It comes every year to remind us to be good to others, be they man, animal or plant. Mr. Rostami is University Professor of Islamic Sects. He joined us on Skype.
ببینید ماه مبارک رمضان تنها یک ماه.
The holy month of Ramadan is not a month for worship per se. It's a whole culture. Ramadan is the month of cooperation. Assistance, getting closer to relatives, helping the poor, avoiding and ending grudges, selfishness and others. This month is a time for practicing good qualities and avoiding indecencies. All these characteristics of Ramadan have given the holy month a special place in the Muslims' religious culture and official and oral rhetoric, especially among Iranians. Ramadan is represented as a special month in the poems of Hafez and other Iranian poets. Worshipping during this month is quite a great gift.
The deeper meaning of Ramadan is expressed or celebrated in ritual and custom and in a multi-tribal Iran in many different tones. Ramadan has a nightlife of its own, with cities coming to life from dusk, but with the whole family participating. Tehran, the capital, is lit up more than usual, with food stalls open, some from dusk to dawn, and restaurants and cafes and stores open till really late. Eating is permitted from dusk till dawn, but not obligatory. However, it is not allowed to eat in public outside these hours in Iran. But as travelers often cannot abstain, hotel restaurants everywhere are open at regular hours, as are supermarkets and bazaars. Mr. Ahmadi Sadr is managing director for the Social Security Organization. We met him at the municipality's welfare organization to see what they've done to cheer up the air for the deprived in Tehran, given it's been a two-in-one occasion to deal with.
We had a variety of programs scheduled over the past year. We have had detailed plans for children of labor. We have thrown parties for orphans. We were with orphan children at the moment when the new year began. The orphans who have no parents. Everybody wants to be with their family on New Year's Eve, and we were with ours. Together with Tehran's mayor, Dr. Zakani, we had a great event in Milad Tower for the orphans. We spent happy moments there because the children were happy. The five-hour event started in the year 1400 in the solar calendar and went on until midnight on the first day of the year 1401. The children were very happy and had fun. We took them to the amusement park, served them dinner, and gave them toys. We have had such events during the year. We will have similar plans for Ramadan as one of the tens of such plans in the year.
For those wanting to participate in Ramadan ritual, mosques usually provide iftar, as do private homes. This evening fast-breaking meal, iftar, which follows the evening prayer, can often come as nazri or alms offered for a wish to be granted or to thank the Almighty for a wish already granted.
We predicted that we would provide assistance packages in the holy month of Ramadan and during the Nowruz holidays to 30,000 households that meet the criteria that we have set. We donated some of those packages on New Year's Eve, some others during the Nowruz holidays, and the rest will be distributed by the end of Ramadan, God willing.
A province particularly colorful in Ramadan is Semnan. Among its customs and traditions are nighttime singing, sewing a wish bag or bag of blessings, the henna or hair, hand and foot dyeing ceremony, knocking on doors of houses to receive broth and pudding, and cooking local foods. It's on Ramadan the 27th, or the last Thursday of the month, when women and girls get together to sew a bag each for themselves, in which they put some money, say a prayer, and blow on it, and then keep it in their trunks until the next year. In some parts of the province, people even go onto the rooftops of homes and mosques. That's 1 hour before sunrise, to sing poems and recite prayers. There's a purpose to it, to wake others up.
Quran's verses and different hadiths have underlined the sheer value of the month. The holy month of Ramadan is so important that verses 84 and 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah talk about fasting, its rules, and expiation for not fasting, strengthening piety, promoting peace of mind and body, equality between rich and poor, reviving moral virtues and avoiding vices, the existence of God or nights in the holy month of Ramadan, reciting the Quran in Muslim countries, and the spirit of empathy and brotherhood are among the benefits and virtues of fasting during this blessed month.
Then there's just the enchantment of some places, regardless of ritual or custom. In Isfahan, you can lose yourself to the evening breeze on Zayander Road or river as you walk along its magnificent historical bridges. For religious occasions such as Ramadan, Mashhad and Qom are must-goes in Iran as they're among Shia capitals of the world. Mashhad City in Khorasan, one of Iran's 31 varied provinces, is the burial place of the 8th Shia Imam, Imam Reza, and home to the biggest mosque on earth, the shrine of Imam Reza. And Qom, although small in size, is the burial place of Imam Reza's sister Masuma and the country's scholastic center for clerical studies. For a short break. We'll be back in no time.
This is Iran Today. Iran Today is broadcast every week on Fridays and Saturdays. The series analyzes major political, economic, cultural, and social events concerning Iran. So don't miss the opportunity to listen to Iran Today on IRIB English Radio.
Ramadan comes with different flavors. The Iranian version and flavor must be rooted in Iranian culture and tradition.
The Westerners provide humanitarian aid, but we provide faithful aid. This type of aid is superior to the humanitarian one because it's given for God. This means helping others for God and not for a transitory feeling of pity. It's considered a religious and holy act. It's a movement. It's a kind of helping where they don't seek personal benefits. The Western civilization is at fault for several reasons. They realize that they're dividing society. They promote totalitarianism, individualism, and egoism. Grassroots and faithful aid are the exact opposite. It means that one shouldn't stop at themselves, but has to care about others too, and not expect anything in return. It's a faithful help, which means the one you'll be dealing with is God, and not the person you're helping.
Plenty more to come in our showtime and days ahead by way of words, prayer and festivity. But this moment is time for a quick news break, so back indoors to see what other media outlets have to say. What they're saying basically is what world leaders have said. Tasnim News quotes Iran's president, who hopes for Muslim unity in his Ramadan message. In separate messages to the leaders of Islamic countries, Raisi said the scent of Ramadan is coming again, so that in this blessed month, the month of the revelation of the Quran, where human destinies are determined on a night like Qad, it is an opportunity for Muslims and the righteous servants of God to practice piety through abstinence from sin and cultivation and purification of the soul, and to be among the pious and to attain nearness to God. He also expressed hope that with the blessings of this month full of mercy and forgiveness, and with the efforts of the leaders and thinkers of Islamic countries, and emphasizing the growing empathy and solidarity among Muslim nations, effective steps can be taken to strengthen unity and greater unity of the Islamic Ummah, especially against divisive currents and takfiri terrorism, and to see the elimination of oppression and injustice, and the establishment of peace and security throughout the world, especially in Palestine. The Tehran Times says, Iran jointly nominates iftar for UNESCO tag. Iran has submitted a dossier on the iftar meal to the United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization for a possible joint registration between the Islamic Republic, Turkey, Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan. During Islam's holy month of Ramadan, believers abstain from food and drink during daylight hours and break their fast with the iftar evening meals, which vary from simple plates of bread, dates, cheese and tea to heavy ones. On March the 29th, Ali Darabi, the Deputy Minister of Cultural Heritage, Tourism and Handicrafts, said the dossier of iftar and its related social and cultural traditions has been sent to the UN body for further consideration. Darabi noted that the inscription file has been compiled at the suggestion of Iran and with the cooperation of Turkey, Azerbaijan and Uzbekistan, and will be presented to the UNESCO Intangible Cultural Heritage Committee in 2023. The UN website reads, UN chief calls for unity to build a peaceful world ahead of Ramadan. Highlighting it as a period of compassion and empathy, Secretary General Antonio Guterres said, the holy month of Ramadan is a time for reflection and learning, an opportunity to come together and uplift each other. In his video message marking the holy month, the UN chief said that he personally had returned to fasting in solidarity, a practice he began as High Commissioner for Refugees, a title he held from 2005 through 2015. Every Ramadan, I had the honor of visiting Muslim countries, fasting in solidarity and breaking bread with people. Unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic made that impossible, but I'm happy to resume this tradition this year, Mr. Guterres said. Citing the Holy Quran, the UN chief said that God created nations and tribes so that we might know one another, and called on people to work hand in hand for the safety, dignity and prosperity of all women and men. That'll be it for the news segment. Do stay tuned. Now, in talking of the Iranian brand of Ramadan, let's not forget the nature of the month is common to all Muslims as a reminder and practice of humane ways. And strategically speaking, it is cause for unity among them. Our guest tells of the unifying element of Ramadan in the sense it brings Muslim sects in Iran together and Muslims in the world closer.
The holy month of Ramadan creates a kind of unity and convergence among the hearts of Muslims. Fasting during the holy month lays the foundation of such a convergence. no matter where in the world they are, Muslims are required to fast. Although Shias and Sunnis have differences in some issues, there's virtually no difference of opinion between the two over fasting. All branches of Islam share the same views on the matter. In fact, the holy month of Ramadan brings the hearts of Muslims closer and strengthens the unity of the Islamic Ummah.
Back to custom and culture. In Ramadan, known as the month of God's feast, that's when Muslims are invited to a grand feast held by God. Here's what his worshippers put out in Iran generally. Many break fast with warm water or a sip of sweet tea or a date before prayer, and then sit down to the iftar table after their evening prayer. Here's what to choose from for iftar. Tea always with Zulbia Bamia, the special Ramadan sweet. Dates, bread and cheese and fresh herbs or walnuts and the like. Saffron rice pudding or sholezad, meaning wobbly yellow. A special meat porridge called halim, which is nice with sugar. And a broth called ashreshte, which is made of noodles, beans and herbs. As well as cutlets and scrumptious starters, say with aubergine. As you see, not eating all day, every day for a month, doesn't mean starving. Also at dawn, before the sun rises, when Muslims say their morning prayers and begin their fast, they set out a table similar to the iftar table. That's called the sahari or dawn time table. For some, it could mean starving. But the Tehran Municipality Welfare Organization tells of how it is an organization that has tended to that.
In considering support packages for the residents in Tehran, we want to be a piece of the jigsaw puzzle that helps the citizens. We have a target community that we want better access to. Our target community includes mostly those who are considered underprivileged. There are people who, for any reason, are dealing with addiction that threatens their families. There are women who are heads of households, and we have moral obligations to them. There are families struggling with poverty. The target community was identified over the past few years, especially the last year.
I wondered if they'd had more thanks coming their way or objection by those not receiving alms. But apparently my question was pointless, as Ramadan is just the flash in the whole year during which the homeless are provided with free shelter.
We identify those we see on the streets and talk to them and invite them over. We have patrol cars specializing in providing such services. The vehicles are tasked with identifying homeless people across the city. We have social workers on the vehicles. Sometimes people call the municipality's call center and report when they see a homeless person or one who's publicly using illegal drugs. The patrols will then be informed and get there and bring the person to the housing centers we have created across the city. They bathe and eat breakfast, lunch and dinner. If they are migrants and want to go back to their cities, we'll help send them. If they are homeless, we'll continue to help them.
In 2020 also, some 210,000 food packages were distributed among deprived families as part of the third phase of Iran Hamdel national campaign. That literally means sympathetic Iran. The campaign kicked off at the beginning of the holy month of Ramadan. During the campaign, which carried on into subsequent years, the first 4 days of Ramadan saw under 730,000 warm meals, under 97,000 iftar packages, over 210,000 food packages distributed among the underprivileged. The campaign was first launched in 2020, aiming to provide financial assistance to the needy affected by the COVID-19 pandemic.
It's a matter of giving others what you have and putting yourself in their shoes. You shouldn't always be waiting for the government to take care of things. The government has an obligation, but what about the people? Shouldn't they have a thirst for helping people? Well, we saw that last year. The last Ramadan was one of the most remarkable since the victory of the Islamic Revolution. There hadn't been such a worldview before. We've heard from our grandparents that they'd help somebody. But we're talking here about a religious aid movement. This is a social movement. Groups of young people would provide such aid packages to those in need completely independently and without anyone asking them to. Tying such beneficence to Ramadan is extremely valuable. Therefore, Ramadan isn't about mere spirituality.
Planning is not as easy as with a solar calendar. The difference between the lunar calendar on which Ramadan is the ninth month and other calendars is the rotation. They rotate through different seasons. In 2022, Ramadan started on April the 1st and in Iran, April the 2nd. It's to be a 30-day month this year. It was to unify or coordinate Muslim countries that the lunar calendar was adopted by all, otherwise it's not as reliable as the solar. For official matters and everyday life, apart from religious events, some countries like Iran hence use the solar calendar. What the month means to Muslims at large is determining.
یه اتفاق درونی و فرهنگی که در ایران بعد از انقلاب به نظر
Our studies and observations show that before the victory of the Islamic Revolution, people were mostly concerned with the superficial aspect of Ramadan. They believed the holy month as being purely ritualistic, meaning that they shouldn't have eaten or drank anything for several hours. But the change that took place, in my opinion, was that Ramadan's rituals became much deeper. We've gone past the superficial aspect and given it meaning. It doesn't mean that we don't adhere to the basic principles, but we don't stop at them either. In my opinion, Ramadan's rituals have become a means for personal transformation. We're now expecting a spiritual transformation during the holy month. We're seeing if we can develop our souls or whether we can stop a bad habit. We're not considering Ramadan as a month of mere hunger and thirst.
As the arrival of Ramadan is announced by viewing the crescent of the moon, it also ends after the crescent moon is seen again by specialists. And this is followed by the greatest prayer or namaz of Muslims. The last 10 days are especially important because the Quran was revealed on any of those 10 called Laylatul Qadr, Night of Destiny. Some people actually do itikaf or retreat into prayers during these days. The Shias of Iran celebrate the Qadr nights from the 19th to 21st of Ramadan as those coincide with Imam Ali's assassination and his subsequent death, which was on the 21st. The three nights from the stabbing to his demise are known as the Nights of Revival, or Shabhaya Ahya. After all, however, comes celebration. How the government facilitates fasting varies year on year, but the general idea is it gives out handouts in cash or kind to the less fortunate, and for employees it cuts down on working hours.
ما مراکزمون به قدری هستش که از همه کسانی که در سطح شهر تهران فعلاً
Our cellars are spacious enough to house the homeless people across the city. There is no shortage of space to receive people, and we want to expand it further and make it so that the areas are divided for each type of guest. This means that the seasonal workers, the homeless people, or relatives of hospital patients wouldn't slip among those who are suffering from addiction. We are making improvements in that regard.
Like Nowruz, Ramadan begins and ends in special ritual or occasion, a month of abstinence from consumption and indulging in self-purification ends in Eid al-Fitr, or the fifth celebration, with family members and friends coming together for a spread, dressed to the nines. But do note, it all ends in the next month, as Eid al-Fitr is on the first day of Shawwal, the last month on the lunar calendar. Now, Fitr festivity is not to say the spirit of the month is forgotten. In fact, part of the jubilation is sharing and giving fitriya or zakat al-fitr. That's gifts and cash which are given to the deprived or dependents. That'll be it for today. Thanks from the whole team. Do join us again at the same times next week and each week after. And till then, have yourself blessed days ahead and that bowl of shole zard if you can come across it. Bye for now. ربنا
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the supplications of Imam As-Sajjad alayhi salam found in As-Sahifah As-Sajjadiyya. Specifically, we are looking at verse 1 and we are looking at patience. Imam alayhi salam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him more patience. And since we are in the month of Ramadan, it is the month where Allah gets to put my patience to the test. We said previously that there are three types of patience. One, patience on ta'ah, obedience, and patience on the forbidden acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes and hates. When it comes to fasting, not only I am doing obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but during the month of Ramadan, I have to refrain from committing sins. Why? Because during the month of Ramadan, there are sins that in fact breaks my fast. So for example, during normal days, I could commit sins. Yes. And they are haram. Yes. I will be punished for. Yes. But they do not collide with my other ibadat, with my other acts of worship, with my wajibat. So I could commit lying and stealing and whatever during the day. It has nothing to do with my salah. During the month of Ramadan, the muharramat, the forbidden acts themselves, they become problematic for my fasting, which means they break it, and it means not only I committed a sin, but I'm no longer fasting. Let us take a short break and then we continue right after.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifah As-Sajjadiyyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Just before the break, I was saying that during the month of Ramadan, we need to exercise patience when it comes to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And why? Because if I don't exercise patience and sabr, what happens is I will lose my fasting. It will be forfeited. It will be a void. It will be void, canceled, which means I have to repay it again. Not only that, but I have to compensate and pay a fine, as you all know. So during the month of Ramadan, I and you need to refrain from committing haram. So now I'm doing obedience and I am doing refraining and then stopping myself from committing haram. And both of these two require the utmost patience. For example, during normal days, we might lie. We say things, you know. And especially when we lie about Allah and the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. I say Allah said, the Prophet said, which in fact they never did. In any other day, I mean, Allah will punish me for that, will be a sin. But it does not harm my other ibadat. If I do it on the in the month of Ramadan, while I'm fasting, it will break my fast. If I say Allah said this and Allah wanted us to do this and Allah never did, or I say the Prophet and the Ahl Bayt said such and such and they never did, not only have I committed a sin by ascribing a lie to Allah and the Ahl Bayt, but in fact I have broke my fast. Therefore, to hold and restrain myself from committing these acts, these sins, these vices, I and you need to exercise patience. And during the month of Ramadan, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and has to be like on the top of our list, wishes and prayers to Allah, is to increase our patience in this month. not only so we can worship Him, but all and also not to be disobedient of Him, especially when it comes to our desires, when it comes to our wants. And mind you, some of these desires are halal desires. Sometimes, you know, when a person is fasting and no longer can come next to his spouse or no longer can do certain things he was used to, it becomes hard. But self-control and patience is required. Stay with us. We'll come back.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program A Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. We are talking about patience and the month of Ramadan, fasting. So up to here, we are saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me and you to exercise patience, to speak when it comes to fasting. So we said, as-sabru ala ta'a, when it comes to obedience, I need to have patience. As-sabru ala al-maharam, when it comes to my desires during the month of Ramadan, I need to have patience. Was-sabru ala al-masa'ib, and calamities and problems and things that will harm me. During the month of Ramadan, we will face a lot of harm. One, hunger, thirst, weakness in our body, and all these things cause us pain. When a person who's through the entire year has been consuming food and drinking, and now all of a sudden he has to stop drinking and eating, and especially for those who live in a time zone when it is summer and the day is 17, 16, 18 days, hours long, 18 hours long, a person gets to feel a lot of pain. Trust me, I've been there. I've done that. And that pain, sometimes it forces people, not forces people, but it puts them in a situation where they go and break their fast. They go drink and eat and like, I can't take this. I'm in too much pain, right? I'm not used to it. Not a pain that requires medical attention, but hunger, thirst, which is normal, which a person gets when he doesn't drink and eat. Allah says, I need you to have patience. I need you to have sabr on these pains that you are going through, that the thirst, the hunger, the weakness that you're feeling. I want you to become amongst the sabireen, right? And this is a form of jihad itself. So fasting itself, it manifests patience at its best forms in terms of obedience, in terms of disobedience, in terms of pain. Right? And this is what Siyam gives you anyway. It first is ta'a, it's obedience. Second, it's to refrain from committing haram disobedience. And three, it gives you a test when it comes to pain. Perfect time for me and you to exercise all these things. And it's a perfect time for me and you to exercise our patience. If we do it correctly, for 30 days, we can continue for the rest of the year until the next month. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatihi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Hargiz nagirat to abad aqa kasi jaye to ra هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.